Good morning, welcome to our celebration today. We're continuing our studies in Isaiah, particularly Isaiah 43. Let me read you the verses. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. What tremendous verses are those. Absolutely wonderful to think that God wants to do something new amongst us even today, as we take time to spend in his word and just to be open to him and allow him by his spirit to touch our lives. Let's just pray. Father God, thank you for allowing us to come again and to discover the wonder of what you have for us through your word by your spirit. We do believe that you want to do something new. We do believe that you want to pour out the streams of living water again. And especially where perhaps they've got stuck or there's those boulders stopping that spring of living water welling up within us. Would you remove the stuff? Would you remove the rubbish? And help us to be truly who you want us to be. I pray, Father, that the life we have in Christ will be truly revealed and be able to live out that life as a testimony to you, bringing glory and honor to you. Help us to live as your kingdom people. So touch our hearts, inspire us as we share this word together. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know whether you've actually read Jackie Pullinger's book, Chasing the Dragon. Do you know it remains still a bestseller? It was written over 40 years ago, and it tells her story. And it begins by her boarding a ship with only a £10 note and one prayer. That was all she had, one prayer, that God would show her when to get off the boat. When the boat pulled into Hong Kong in 1966, God told her to disembark, and she obeyed. She ended up in Kowloon Walled City, a lawless slum where only triads profited, such a place of darkness and despair, but where Pullinger's story began. And she began to work, loving the unlovable. How powerful is that? Her message was simple, being sure of God's love yourself and then going out and sharing it with the lost. And she dared believe that that's what God wanted her to do, and that's what she did. To the triads, to the drug gangs, to the prostitutes, to a 72-year-old lady named Alfreda, good-for-nothing lady, messed-up lady, a lady who had no income. In fact, she didn't even have an identity card. And as far as the Hong Kong government was concerned, she didn't even exist. But God knew. Jackie knew. And God met her through Jackie's testimony. And God changed Alfreda's life. And she became a wonderful testimony, a glowing example of what God can do in transforming someone's life. And then she met Little Wah. Little Wah was a 75-year-old guy. And they fell in love. And then Little Wah asked her to marry him. Jackie describes the wedding as the wedding of the decade, because this former prostitute, the heroin addict, walked down the aisle in white, cleansed, forgiven, transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. And you know what? I believe actually this is what God wants to do in our hearts and lives. Let's not forget the gospel of Jesus Christ, of that transforming work of grace that God wants to bring about in our own lives and in the lives of our family and our community. It gives me a hint of what he intends for the church, of what he intends for the community, even through and after COVID-19. God, in his love, says we have been shaped, redeemed, and called, not just for ourselves, but for a bigger purpose, demonstration of God's glory to a watching world, verse 21 of our passage says. I don't know when the last time you actually thought of yourself as God's masterpiece, but you are. We are. Ephesians 2 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship. You and I are his workmanship. And God wants to continue to do that new thing in our hearts and our lives even today. As I was preparing, my mind went back to a time in September 2013. Alice and I were ministering down in Dorchester, And we belong to a group of evangelical churches under the banner Fanning the Flames. And on the 18th of September, we'd agreed to call all the churches together, like as a conference. And it was agreed that each pastor would bring a word to the people. And each pastor was given the same text from God. This is the text. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Do you think God was speaking? Yeah, he was speaking. He did speak and continues to speak. And he's talking to us again today. He's talking to us as a church today. And at that place where we are right now, as leaders, as members, as his people. And I'm asking myself the question, I'm asking you the question, are we living Christ's purpose in our life today? How faithful are you in living with what God has entrusted to you to further his kingdom? Whether through your verbal witness or through your example, your giving, your good works, your service, will there be people in heaven because you've lived for Jesus and his kingdom? Boy, that's a tough question, isn't it? Will there be people in heaven because of the testimony they've seen and heard, and because you've had the opportunity of sharing the grace and love of Christ with them? Or just imagine today, finding a new flow path in the wilderness and going with it, seeing that new spring of living water welling up and believing it's just for you or for your church or for your people. In 1953, a chemist named Norm Larson was trying to produce a substance to prevent rust. The principle on which they were basing their product was simply to displace water, thereby preventing corrosion, since rust formation requires air and moisture. Larson did eventually produce the finished product that he had been striving for, but it had taken him 40 attempts. He failed 39 times, but succeeded on the 40th try. That's why it's called WD-40. The WD stands for water displacement, and the 40 is how many times he tried. And the message God gave to me in thinking of this story, it's time for the WD moment. It's time for the water displacement. It's time for those springs of living water to well up again. Out of that chamber that's perhaps been stuck or blocked, to become streams in the wasteland, to move on again. And it can start today. It was John Ortberg that wrote, "If my mission cannot start here today, where I am, it cannot start at all. But it can start today." Or like Paul when he said, "One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and streaming, going on towards what is ahead." We can't ignore the fact that when Jesus comes on the scene, he takes the ordinary and makes it extraordinary. So are you following Jesus into the extraordinary today? It will mean you'll walk the same road as him. That's what a disciple does, doesn't he? He and she walks the same road as Jesus. No guarantees, no deals, no special promises. You just walk with Jesus and you know his blessing upon your life. You know his spirit working in you. As Isaiah is talking to the children of Israel, the message of God, the future God refers to, means he's prepared for anything. God had performed many miracles for Israel. One of the most important is mentioned a few verses earlier, their deliverance from slavery in Egypt through the Red Sea on dry ground. God's now saying, forget all that. Really? Forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Check out verse 18. How many churches and individuals are held back in entering into God's best for them because of the past? Past can hold us back too. It's a good place to visit, but it's not a good place to stay. Isaiah 43 verse 16 says, "He who made a way through," God who makes a way, despite the difficulty or limited options, God is a God who makes a way even when there seems to be no way. None of us are worthy. But Jesus makes us right before God through his precious blood, shed for us on Calvary. Let's forget the past, good or not so good. It's nothing compared to what God is going to do for you in the future. You see, for Israel, with their home and temple destroyed, and as the years in exile become decades, the thoughts on the minds of the people, this situation is hopeless. There is a way out, but they had missed it. They hadn't seen it. Is there a way home? Must have been the question. Yet it was to these people, feeling completely hopeless, whose faith was reaching breaking point, that God stepped in. Interestingly, it's as though he had to reintroduce himself to them. Verse 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Lord, the Creator of Israel, your King. He begins by reminding them that he's Yahweh, the great I Am, the self-existent, active, ever-present God. Maybe you have taken your eyes off the Lord and onto a situation. Maybe the difficulty of what you have faced has clouded out the thought and presence of who he is. Maybe you have forgotten that the one who is on your side is eternal, all-powerful, ever-present God who makes a way. Israel had. In such situations, God does what God does best. He does the impossible. He made a way where, naturally speaking, there was no way. I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland, verse 19 says. God's promise of restoration must have seemed impossible to the Israelites in exile. How is that going to happen? They must have been thinking. Change and transition in life can still be challenging, especially when we've got comfortable with the way things are. Life has its own peculiar way of breaking up our comfort levels. Nothing can remain the same. God says, don't consider what you did yesterday. Leave the comfort zone. See, I am doing a new thing. Oh yeah, don't get me wrong. Security is good, and we need the familiar in order to give us some basis in dealing with the unfamiliar. But sometimes what we hold on to for security has become nothing but a tattered hold of threads. It doesn't help us to move forward in life. It just keeps us locked into the place where we find ourselves, and it deceives us into thinking that it's a good place to be. Israel had got used to being second-class citizens in a foreign country. And like the Israelites in Egypt in the days of Moses, they found a certain security in their bondage. How sad. But does that describe you? You're stuck. You're holding on to your blankie. And yet God says, I want you to leave that because I have something new for you. See, where Israel were wasn't God's plan for his people to be comfortable exiles in a land ruled by other religious values. No, they were to have a land of their own where they could serve the Lord and be faithful to his covenant. To these people, Isaiah said, in effect, get rid of your comfort security blanket. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not see it springs up before you? The prophet seems to be telling people that they shouldn't let their present situation or their past history or failure define who they are. Instead, who we are is defined by how God made us at the beginning. Our destiny is not to live as victims and exiles, however much we might have got used to that, but to be servants and worshippers of our Creator God. Hallelujah. The people whom I form for myself will declare my praise, verse 21 says. Paul helps on this thought in Philippians 3. In Christ, God has done that something new. What he had promised through Isaiah many centuries earlier, he has sent his own son to break the curse of bondage to an outworn belief system and offers a new covenant in life to get us through death into resurrection. Paul's security blanket, well, the things in which he used to put his confidence. Listen, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I counted as lost for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Are you there? Or will you come to this point today? Consider everything rubbish in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. What if Paul had chosen to hang on to those few threads of his blankie? What if he had refused to abandon his behavior and tradition and his identity? He could never have known or been part of the new thing that God was going to do in his life, in the life of his people. He could never have said these words, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Both Isaiah and Paul knew that God was doing something new. He was doing something new for them and for his people. And that unless they gave up their past and moved out of their comfort zone, they were going to be left behind in the move of God. I don't really want to say it, but I will say it. This will happen to us if we hang on to our threadbare security blankets for too long. Are we resisting the wholeness and the peace that comes from being not who you think you are, but who God created you to be? Does it frighten you to think that God's words might apply to you? The real issue here, these folks had no story themselves of God's wonderful and miraculous work in the past. Were they up-to-date contemporary illustrations of God's power for them? We can delight in a God who is able and even does bless others, but what about me? What about these last 3 months? Oh, Israel had a great history, an amazing set of stories to tell, but look where it got them. And yet he says to these people, God says, I'm going to continue the story, your story, the now story, but you must release the past. You must release the past in order to move forward into the new. The forgetting is a moving on to fresh stories of God's power and of grace, so that those whom I have formed myself will declare my praise. Back to verse 21 again. You know, I can't answer for you, but I want to be one of those who declare his praise, don't you? Even if it means being willing to discard the frayed remnants of an outworn past. We should never make light of those good things we have learned. But when who we think we are, who we want others to think we are, keeps us from seeing God at work in us to make for him to make us what he wants us to be, it's time to let go. And if we don't, it will continue to rob us of a time and space and experiences of life itself. Maybe through lockdown, we are seeing a new image of ourselves as a church and discovering that a new thing which God wants to do with us. Are we willing to sacrifice familiar patterns and procedures and press on in order that we might lay hold of those things? What would have to change in the life and worship of our congregation if we were to become what God was creating us to be, a new thing, a people declaring his praise? See, even this COVID-19 experience can be seen as the desert and wasteland of life, yet God clearly states he will make a way and give streams in such a wasteland. Or will you continue to deny God? Continue to deny him access totally into your heart and your life, into your home, into your family, into the community, into the church. And so we deny the new thing. Arthur Berry was considered the world's most famous jewel thief. However, Berry's notoriety was not due to the fact that he was a thief, but because of his rather ingenious, bold style of stealing from the elite rich and only taking high-class jewels. He was known as a gentleman thief. Berry mingled with the highbrow socialites of his day. But his downfall came when a tip-off out of jealousy notified the police of his whereabouts. You know, he would spend the next 18 years in prison. After his release from prison, Berry settled down as a respected citizen in a little town in New England where no one knew of his past. All was going well until someone recognized him as the famous jewel thief. And before he knew it, reporters were there on his doorstep. And they asked one question, kept asking this question, "Do you remember who it was that you stole the most from?" That was the only question they kept asking. Berry thought for a while, and then he answered, "The one I stole the most from was Arthur Berry. I could have been a successful businessman, a contributing member to society, but instead, I chose the life of a thief and spent 2/3 of my adult life behind bars. Yeah, I spent a lifetime robbing myself. I spent a lifetime robbing myself." I believe God wants to renew his church today in some sovereign and surprising way. Unless we are willing to leave our past failures behind us, or if we insist on dragging them with us, we can never really be successful in our present or the future. Let's have done with robbing God. Let's have done with robbing ourselves. I know we may feel beaten and battered and bruised. We may feel overrun and conquered. Exile isn't just a place. It's a strange, disorientating, disheartening, challenging space. But God comes with his promises, something entirely new and radical that he wants to do. He wants to bring release. He wants to bring life out of exile. The new really means God is at work, heralding a new way and direction. Joshua 3, verse 4 says, "You have never been this way before." Isn't that exciting? Just imagine right now, for everyone who's listening to this, and for us as a church in Mega, we have never been this way before. And God's taking us on to something new, discovering those springs in the wasteland. This is the moment that God has given. And as long as God is in it, his blessing will be upon it. A lot of people let the past dictate their future. Don't do that. Get past your past. We all have a past, but it's been covered. Jesus has brought release from the past. And we can move into the future, which he's secured for us. Don't let your past failures leave you hopeless about your future success. Your future has no space for failures of the past. Just because you have failed at some things does not make you a failure. So we should be seeking God together for transformation within our church and within our community. And whilst we can't think of anything greater as a church, we also realize we need to know this transformation individually and collectively. You have to let go in order to go on. So my dear friends, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. May it be so, for God's glory. Amen.